sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. They'll leave me alone cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday's History Lesson with Pastor Chetfield. Going to talk about the very last speech that Benjamin Franklin gave at the Constitutional Convention, September of 1787. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Why is this speech so important for you to have taken the time to prepare a lesson plan for us on this Friday?
Well, we watched another video. I've watched, probably 30, 40 videos on different angles of looking at the Constitutional Convention and why it worked and why we have a Constitution. And I've read three or four books on the subject, and we've talked about it and I've thought about it. And it's just important. It's an important lesson about life in general. It is the way it is, and about politics, and we're coming up to a new administration, and it's just important. In the summer of 1787, the founding fathers were meeting. This was really pushed mostly by James Madison, and then George Washington, and then Alexander Hamilton. All of them could see that the Articles of Confederation, the first form of government that we had, was just not working. It just wasn't strong enough. The Articles of Confederation didn't give Congress the power to tax. To pass anything, you had to have 9 of 13 states agree. To amend the Constitution, or amend the Articles of Confederation, took 13 of 13 states. You couldn't. I mean, there were states that were on the verge of going to war with each other. It didn't have enough teeth. There was no executive, nobody to enforce the law. It was not strong enough. Listen, yeah, we're conservatives. We believe in limited government, but you got to have enough government to, you know, enforce laws. And the trick that Madison would say in Federalist Paper number 51 is to have a government that on the one hand can be restrain the people to some measure, but on the other hand can constrain itself, because men are not angels. And so and it's a balance there. And Ben Franklin was there. Washington was there. Remember, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were overseas serving as ambassadors in Britain and France, respectively. But there were a lot of important people there. And words matter. And these words matter. Interesting concept I never thought of, but I tend to believe it. I never heard this before, but this guy said that this was all planned out, that James Madison kind of manipulated the whole thing, the whole convention. And that kind of, I don't know, that might be true. I don't know. I would have to hear more. In other words, the convention, where you're going to say this, I'm going to say that, and then we're going to do this. Listen, in every political party, every caucus, both Republican, Democrat, there's planning on these meetings. People that know how to move people and It is the way it is. It's very, it's interesting. And so, as you remember, the big issue was representation in the Congress. That was finally settled. We had a compromise between the Virginia plan and the New Jersey plan, with a Connecticut compromise where we created two houses, the Senate, which would have equal representation amongst the states, and the House of Representatives, where you would have representation based upon population. That was very important. And by the way, that was we could give a lot of credit to Ben Franklin when he called, hey, let's stop. Let's have prayer. Let's not let this thing break up. But his last speech was a little bit different.
Very interesting. We're going to talk about the speech. We're going to talk about the activity from that speech. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com. Everybody, welcome back into the show, talking about Benjamin Franklin's last speech at the Constitutional Conventions, September 1787. Pastor Chatfield, just point of clarification to set this up. 4th of July, 1776, we declare our independence. We go to war. It's a long war. We win the war. When was the war officially over for our independence?
Treaty of Paris, 1783. Last major battle, Yorktown, 1781. We had been operating under the Articles of Confederation since 78. And while we're okay. And since 1778, since we're in, and that's okay during time of war, but in the what we call the critical years, I mean, there was something called Shays' Rebellion that up in Massachusetts, a former sergeant, I think it was in the military. Hey, they were rebelling against the authority of the government, and there was George Washington said, "This is not strong enough. I mean, how are we going to stop this?" And people could see, they were educated men, very educated. They could see we needed a stronger government. The original purpose, so stated anyway, of the Constitutional Convention was simply to revise the Articles. But people like Madison, I think he already knew. No, we're going to have to start all over, which in a way is unconstitutional, in a way. That's part of the argument that we've talked about.
Why weren't the articles that we were operating under, why were they not good enough?
You had no executive. You had no power to tax. It didn't. Some law somewhere is going to have to be supreme. Article 6 of the United States Constitution, the supremacy law, which states that this Constitution, the United States Constitution, and the laws pursuant thereof will be the supreme law of the land. That you have to have somewhere.
That's technically referred to as the supremacy clause.
Yes.
Not the supremacy law, but the clause that's contained in the Constitution.
Correct.
Okay, I
do make a big argument. And the laws made pursuant thereof. I mean, if a law is unconstitutional, it's repugnant. That's John Marshall said that.
Sure.
Any law repugnant to the Constitution is, you know, it's void. The question is, who gets to declare it's void? States in state nullification or in the Supreme Court, which in effect is Supreme Court nullification.
Right.
The people that tell me, well, we don't believe in nullification. Yes, you do. You just believe that the Supreme Court can nullify a law.
Is the nullifier.
Yeah, not the states.
Not the states themselves, which is in Article 10.
Correct.
10th Amendment. Got it.
Yeah, but that we've lost that argument. You can bring it up.
No, I'm still not convinced we have. I'm going to fight that fight until my last breath, because in the 10th Amendment, and this is the reason I state that, those were the list. You know, and you're going to discuss this, I'm sure, but before they could get this Constitution ratified, they only did it because of the speech you're about to talk about and the fact that it was amendable. And they then fought for four more years until December 15th of 1791 when they finally said, okay, guys, here's the list. Here's the 10. Why did they make it the 10th Amendment? They made it the 10th Amendment because they knew darn well exactly what you're talking about. Somebody down the road is going to screw this up and deem the Supreme Court as the supreme nullifier. And they are not. The 10th Amendment occurred long before we got into this habit of accepting the Supreme Court as being the supreme ruler. I'm going to still fight that one until I die.
Yeah, I just got to. I'm on this. There's a called the 10th Amendment Center, and they're still making the argument.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
They're still making that argument. However, reality smacks us in the face occasionally. And anyway.
Okay. Well, we need to smack back.
Okay. All right. So. And let me make one more point.
Sure.
Some of these, there were three major people that walked away from the convention. George Mason, Elbridge Gerry, and Edmund Randolph said, no, there is no Bill of Rights in this. We're not signing. Let's prolong this convention and get a Bill of Rights. Then we'll sign.
Now, was those three votes enough to stop the ratification, the approval at the convention?
No, it wasn't. And again, some people can make the argument. People that are against Convention of the States make this argument. They say, last time we had a Convention of the States, they threw out the Articles of Confederation and just created a Constitution.
A new Constitution.
And we don't want that. So we're not going to take that chance.
Right. I'm in that house. I'm sorry. I don't trust the stupid politicians, elected officials of this age compared to our founding fathers' intelligence. I don't trust them to open up our Constitution. I'm sorry. I'm against it.
Okay. All right. It's another argument, but it is parallel to this. Here's what Madison thought, and I think he's right here. Look, here's what Madison said. Pass this, we will get you a Bill of Rights, I promise. And there were a lot of the ratifying conventions, and the state says, if you don't get us a Bill of Rights, we are going to pull back from our endorsement, our ratification. Okay, but now we're just talking about the people that wrote it. Are we going to sign on to it? So that's where we start with Ben Franklin.
Okay, well, I want a condition of point of clarification. When they ratified it, was it a conditional ratification or signing that said, you said you were going to give us a list, you were going to give us some Bill of Rights, some items specifically called out, listed, enumerated, so that in future generations it's clear, we're going to sign this on the condition that you promised to do that? Was that a conditional signing, or did they just sign it in good faith?
The people that signed it, I would say, mm-hmm. signed it in good faith. But when they went back to their states, now this is, we're talking about the signing of it here.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the convention. But when they went back
to the convention itself, got it.
Then, but when we went back to the states to get ratification, some of the states, important states, said, no, we'll sign on, but we have to have a Bill of Rights or we're going to withdraw it. And Madison was true to his word. Obviously, we got a Bill of Rights.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
We're up to speed. What was it he said?
Okay, here's what he said, and I won't be able to finish it in this block, but we'll start. Ben Franklin said, I confess that I do not entirely approve of this Constitution at present, but sir, I am not sure I shall never approve it. For having lived long, I've experienced many instances of being obliged by better information or fuller consideration to change opinions, even on important subjects, which I once thought right, but found to be otherwise. So let me ask you this, Randy. Have you ever changed your opinion on a few things?
Never. No, that's a joke. You evolve all the time.
So Ben Franklin said, I don't know. There's some things in this Constitution I don't agree with, but you know what? I've learned that over the years I've changed my opinion on things.
Sure.
And I've done that on different portions of Scripture, the Bible. Used to mm-hmm. take this position, now I take that position, and we all kind of do that. And he goes on. It is therefore that the older I grow, the more apt I am to doubt my own judgment, and to pay more respect to the judgment of others. Okay. Most men, indeed, as well as most sects in religion, think themselves in possession of all truth, and that wherever others differ from them, it is so far error. Sir Richard Steele, a Protestant, in a declaration tells the Pope that the only difference between our two churches in their opinions of the certainty of their doctrine is the Romish church is infallible, and the Church of England is never wrong. Listen, back in these days, people took their beliefs very seriously. Part of the reason that some churches never argue because they don't believe in anything. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church believes some things. Protestant sure. churches, they believe some things, and there were some differences, and they argued about them. Now, in our country, we have learned that we argue, but we don't take up guns or swords against each other. Now, that is not so in Europe after the Reformation. We could talk about the wars in the 1500s and 1600s in Europe, where lots of people were killed in wars between Protestants and Roman Catholics.
Just over their religious beliefs.
Yeah, over the religious beliefs. It's because they took it seriously.
Yeah, they did.
They took it very seriously. And so Franklin's saying, well, wait a minute here. He says, but though many private persons think almost as highly of their own infallibility as that of their sect, few express it so naturally as a certain French lady who, in a little dispute with her sister, said, I don't know how it happens, sister, but I meet with nobody but myself that's always in the right. You know, it's funny. I've been watching a lot of football and a lot of these commentators on ESPN, the NFL Network. They're all making their prediction about the big game tomorrow and this, that, and the other, and Sam Darnold, and why? How much money should he get? And did he fail the Vikings and this,
he did.
That?
He absolutely did.
This, that, and the other. I am amazed at how certain they are of things.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He should
go back to driving a garbage truck.
Oh, come on. Anyway.
But on that point, though, I could see how at this convention, with them having their belief system, that Benjamin Franklin was there. I have a question before you actually finish the speech, because we're not going to have enough time. So let me filibuster on this question. Was this the last speech given before they did what they did? They calmed down. They went away. They came back. The whole nine yards. You're going to get into that. But my question is this. Was this the closing speech that had the real impact that got us to the point where we were actually able to pass the Constitution?
I think it was.
Okay, because
I think it was.
That was what my history teacher taught me, and I remember. But I do remember there was some counter discussions and things like that. But what he said made so much sense that it was like, okay, he's right. I mean, here's this. How old was Franklin when he gave this speech? Like 137?
I think he was 81 right here.
80. I mean, back then, that would probably be the equivalent of 137 today. I mean, but here's the point. This guy, a womanizer in France and all the flings he had and not really the most moral man on the planet, here he is giving a speech calling on God. I mean,
this is a different speech, but that other speech was back a couple months earlier. This is
just a couple months that led up to this one.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. It was the precursor speech that got us to this point. And then this speech is the one that said, hey, you know, if we don't do this, we're doomed is what my takeaway. We'll get into the complete speech itself. I got a text question coming in or statement, actually. He says, and this is interesting because I've had this position. I want to argue. I want to debate Mark Levin. I want to get into a debate with him on one of his books, the Constitutional Convention. 10th Amendment. Right on, Randy. Hold your ground. Fact. The original Constitution, as originally written, was designed to transcend time and future technologies. The 10th Amendment was written for a reason, and the Founding Fathers knew it. He's calling it divine.
Let me counter. The reason the 10th Amendment was written is because Article 1, Section 8 has said the necessary and proper clause, and which basically the 10th Amendment was trying to trump that and say, no, you can't do, whatever is necessary and proper. You can only do national government, specifically what the Constitution empowers you to do.
Exactly, and the rest is left up to the states and or the people. Absolutely.
Right.
All right, good break. Now we can get back to the speech. Bottom of the Hour News, we'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning